Good morning and welcome again to All Saints. We are continuing a series entitled Practices of a Missionary People for a Secular Age. For our secular age, for the city of Austin, looking together what it means for us to embody the truth and goodness and beauty of the gospel in our day. Today we'll be looking at the grace of spiritual direction. And let me encourage you, we're going to be looking at it from John chapter 4. To read the entirety of John 4, either today or sometime this week, we're not going to read the whole passage, but let me encourage you to think about the entirety of this text. Hear the gospel from John 4. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is a place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, Lord Christ. Lord, we do praise you for this portion of your word, and we ask that as we reflect on it for the next few minutes, that you'd be with us, that we might see your glory, that we might seek you and draw closer to you, that we might know that you are God who receives us. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Do you sometimes feel alone? Do you sometimes feel distant and isolated from God, from others, from even yourself, the plans and desires that you have for yourself? Do you sometimes feel alienated in your relationships with God and others? Do you sometimes feel alone? Loneliness, isolation, alienation. Each and every one of us experiences these things in a variety of ways. It doesn't matter if you are a Christian. It doesn't matter if you're someone who is exploring the reality of Christianity. Loneliness is a human condition. No one can escape it. Doesn't matter if you're old, doesn't matter if you're young, if you're rich or poor, if you're married or single, we all know what it is like to feel alone. We all know the deep, dark pain of loneliness. So what do we do about it? How do we move from loneliness to community, from isolation to intimacy, from feeling abandoned to being embraced? What do we do about the pain and shame of feeling alone, of feeling forgotten, unheard, rejected? How do we grow in our relationships, in our relationship with God and in our relationship with others? Well, one thing is that we must acknowledge the absolute necessity, of others in our lives. The less alone we are, the more fully human we become. The less alone we are, the more truly Christian we become. God did not make us to be alone. God made us for intimacy. He made us for community. And this is true in every area of life, but especially true in terms of being a Christian. To be a Christian is to be brought into true community, into the community of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, into the community of his people, of his beloved sons and daughters. Christianity, by definition, is to be brought from your isolation into intimacy, into a true community. Christianity is supposed to be the place where you experience deep, joyful, abiding community. So although we agree with this intellectually, although we assent to this theologically, we struggle in this area. I struggle in this area. Pastors struggle in this area. You struggle in this area. Intimacy in relationships is hard. Here are a couple of reasons. On the one hand, we can be far more shaped by American cultural ideas than by biblical ones. Individual optimism, individual triumphalism, an attitude that we can handle our problems on our own, that we don't really need anybody else, that we're self-sufficient and strong, that we're wise in and of ourselves, it pervades how we all live. We're conditioned to think we're in control. We got it. It's not that big of a deal. I can handle it. Mike Tyson once said, "Everyone has a plan until he gets punched in the mouth." Everyone has a plan until he gets punched in the mouth. Mike Tyson is so wise. You see, when life punches you in the mouth, triumphalism proves impotent. And we have little to no categories for weakness, for dependence, for frailty in our culture. Individual triumphalism, onward and upward, bigger and better, better and brighter, it doesn't match our experience. Doesn't match the human experience. But Christianity, the beauty of Christianity, is it accounts for weakness. It accounts for frailty. It accounts for suffering, for loss, for pain, for discouragement. And friends, every single one of us, right here and right now, in different ways, in some way, is weak, discouraged, suffering. In some way, you're being punched in the mouth. You may be punched in the mouth through the news of cancer. You may be being punched in the mouth through the death of a loved one, punched in the mouth through the loss of a job, punched in the mouth through a broken relationship that seems beyond repair, punched in the mouth by the pain of ongoing addiction. Because we don't know what to do with it, because we're cultured to think onward and upward, bigger and better, we got this, we can triumph. We keep it a secret. We hide it. We mask it. We diminish it. We lie to ourselves and we say, "I got it. I got it under control. It's really not that big of a deal." But friends, individual triumphalism is a cancer that is killing us and that needs to be destroyed. On the other hand, we're shaped as well by individual defeatism. We think, "All right, if I am willing to come out of the shadows, if I'm willing to come out of hiding, if I'm willing to tell others about weakness, about pain, about suffering, about loss, about addiction, well, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be shunned. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be abandoned. I'm going to be made to feel more alone than I am right now." And so we become convinced that we'll never change, we'll never grow, we'll never really repent, and so we become discouraged. We become downcast by these burdens that we all bear. And the Christian community is supposed to be the place where we can be honest about ourselves, be honest about our sin, be honest about our struggles, be honest about our doubts, but often it's not. Some of us have experienced this in intense and acute and hurtful ways where we've come out of hiding and we said, "I'm struggling. This is what's going on in my life." And the Christian community has shunned us. And if that's you, I'm sorry. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Not supposed to be controlled by fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of shame. Individual defeatism is a cancer that is killing us and that needs to be destroyed. So what do we do about defeatism? What do we do about triumphalism? How do we battle these things? Are there solutions? Is there hope? And friends, the good news of the gospel, the good news of Christianity, is that there is one beautiful and beneficial grace. Help is that of spiritual direction, is that of having a spiritual director in your life. Now, this term may be new to many of you. may seem odd to you, a little bit strange, a little bit different, a little bit weird. It's not. It's beautiful. A spiritual director is someone that helps care for your soul, that is an abiding spiritual friend, that helps you to know God, that helps move you closer to God, that listens to what is going on in your life and helps you to see how God is at work, even through the brokenness, even through the pain, even through the messiness, and how you should respond to him in faith. And we see the grace of spiritual direction beautifully displayed in our text as Jesus meets the woman at the well. So we're going to look at this text from the perspective of spiritual direction and discover four things together about the grace of spiritual direction. First, Jesus meets the woman right where she is in life. Spiritual direction doesn't say or doesn't require that you have to have attained a certain place, that you have to be at a certain standing spiritually to be directed. Spiritual direction meets you right where you are. No matter if you're really, really, really far from God, or if you're seeking to know God and pursue him, spiritual direction encourages you to move closer to God no matter where you are in your relationship with God. Jesus meets this woman at the well. He engages her. He listens to her. He loves her. He directs her so that she might know God. He meets someone who's far from God. He meets someone who doesn't know very much about God. He meets someone who has very poor theology. He meets someone with doubts and questions. He meets someone whose life is an utter mess. He meets someone, pursues someone, engages someone who's an outcast, who nobody else wants to be around, who society has shunned, rejected, and abandoned. Nobody wants to be associated with this woman. That's why she's at this well, at noon, in the middle of the day, all alone. She's alone and far from God. But Jesus, he's willing to pursue her. He's willing to meet with her. He meets with her right where she is in life, in the middle of all of her messiness, in the middle of all of her failure, in the middle of all her disappointment, and he directs her to God. And spiritual direction teaches us that there's no one that's too far from God that shouldn't be encouraged to move closer to God. And there's no one who is close to God that shouldn't be encouraged to move closer to God and to respond in faith and repentance. Spiritual direction is for everyone, right where you are in your life. Second, Jesus talks to her about normal, mundane things and helps her to see how God is present through them. The woman is at the well, getting water, satisfying a physical need that she has. She needs water every day of her life. She comes to this well regularly and consistently to take care of what her body needs. Water, nourishment, sustenance. Jesus meets her, and they start to talk about water. And he helps her to see that she has a much bigger need, that she needs living water. He begins to have a conversation where this physical water points beyond itself to something greater, something deeper, something more mysterious. They start to talk about living water and saying, that's what you really need? Yes, it's true that in your body you need this physical water, but you need a deeper, a more mysterious water. You need living water. So Jesus takes their conversation from talking about water to talking about God. And that's the art and the grace of spiritual direction. To talk about normal, mundane, everyday things, and to see how God shows up in those things. To see how these things point beyond themselves to be signs and symbols of God's life and presence to us. So the job of a spiritual director is to ask you where you are at in your life. To listen to you talk about normal things. Things like drinking. Things like eating, things like friendship, things like parenting, romance, work, exercise, money. and redirect those things to God. A spiritual director asks questions like, how are you pursuing God? How is God present in and through your work, in and through your finances, in and through diet and exercise, in and through your relationships? How is God's love and care and presence made known to you through all these normal, mundane things? So spiritual direction is a conversation about water. It's a conversation about money, about food, about work. But it's holy conversation. It's transformed conversation. It seeks to move beyond water, money, food, work, in order to see the goodness, the grace of God in these things, God's presence in these things. Third, spiritual direction is for the preservation and the protection of God's people. It's for the preservation and protection of his beautiful bride. It's a pursuit of the bride. It's for the encouraging and equipping of the bride. Why is Jesus at this well? To pursue his bride, to love his bride, to nourish his bride, to strengthen his bride. You see, in the Old Testament, patriarchs like Isaac and Jacob, do you know where they met their wives? At wells. Do you know where Jacob met his wife at the well? What time he met her? At noon. And we didn't read this, but in our text, this woman is at Jacob's well at noon drawing water, and Jesus shows up at that precise hour. So what is he doing meeting this woman at Jacob's well at noon? He's pursuing his bride. He's protecting his bride. He's directing his bride to know, to love, to respond to God and worship him. So spiritual direction acknowledges the frailty of our lives, that we're weak, that we're needy, that we're fragile, but that we have a husband, we have a Savior who is mighty and good and strong, who always protects, always provides, always preserves his bride. This woman we read about, she's had six failed relationships. She's had six false husbands. She's had six disastrous men in her life. She is a bride with a dark and a twisted past. And nobody wants to be around her. Nobody wants to associate with her. But now Jesus, he shows up as a seventh man in her life. And he's appeared as a true husband, as a true man, as a true groom. He's in her life not to condemn her, not to shame her, not to embarrass her, not to reject her, but to welcome her, to love her, to guard her. Jesus is a true husband who always protects and guards his bride. And so spiritual direction is a way to protect and preserve the bride, a way for the bride to safely speak to someone about their life, about ups and downs, about joys and trials, about successes and failures, about victories and disasters, without fear of rejection or abandonment. Spiritual direction realizes that you're fragile, that I'm fragile, and that we need people to come alongside us to strengthen and nourish us. Christ is faithful to nourish his bride, and he uses his body, people just like you and me, to do that in our lives, even in the midst of great failure. Fourth, spiritual direction results in new life. One of the images that the church has always used to describe spiritual direction and a spiritual director is that of a midwife. The director's job is to help you experience new life in Christ. The director's job is to help you bring that new life to others, not just experience that for yourself, to be sent on mission to bring that life to others. And so when this woman at the well walks away from Jesus, she walks away as a new person. She walks away as new creation. She walks away as someone that has been transformed. She has a new man in her life. She's been changed, and she wants others to experience the grace that she's received as well. So she becomes a participant in the new story. She's sent out to tell others about this new man. And her message, it's not sophisticated. It's not complex theologically. In fact, her message is still full of questioning, still full of certain doubts. She continues to wonder, even through her message. Her message, friends, is simple. And God uses her in her simple, simple message. That's all she says. Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And God used her. God used her to bring many others to Jesus as well. Spiritual direction, it never leaves us where we are. It pushes us to mission. It challenges us to love others in real and tangible and sacrificial ways. It awakens us to help others experience the same grace that we've received. In our text, this woman at the well, she has been with six previous men. And I'm convinced that she has been barren with those men. Now the text is silent on this. It doesn't address this. But I don't think that she had ever given birth to another person. I don't think that she had ever been a mother. I don't think that she'd ever been generative in her relationships with these men. But now, after being with Jesus, the true man, the seventh man, the real husband, she is no longer barren. She finally becomes a mother. She gives life to others. As she tells her story, he told me everything that I ever did. You know what happens in her community? Many people put their faith, many people put their trust in Jesus. Because of her testimony, he told me everything I ever did. They said, Jesus, stay here for two more days. We want to talk to you the way that she talked to you. We want to hear more about this living water. We want to hear more about who you are and why you came into the world. She bore fruit. She became a spiritual mother to many. She herself was not only changed, but she helped others to change. And so that's the goal of spiritual direction, is to bear fruit. Spiritual direction. Maybe a new term, maybe a weird term, maybe a different term. But friends, it is a beautiful term. It's a precious remedy against individual triumphalism, individual defeatism, rugged individualism that controls our day. It's a necessary medicine for a time and a place like Austin, Texas. So if we're ever going to become a missionary people for a secular age, for our secular age, for this city, then we must learn the goodness, truth, and beauty of spiritual direction. And at All Saints, we're in process of having formal trained spiritual directors. What are these directors going to do? Four things. They're going to meet with people right where they are at in their life. No matter if they're really, really far from God or if they're moving closer to God. And they're going to encourage them to pursue God, to seek him, to move closer to him. They're going to help them to see how God is seeking after them. Number two, they're going to listen. They're going to have conversation. They're going to have conversation about mundane, everyday activities in life. And they're going to see how God shows up in these things, how God is present as we raise our kids, as we go to work, as we go about our recreations. Third, they'll pursue and protect the bride. Be safe people to talk to. They'll be there in order to provide for the bride, preserve the bride. And fourth, they'll send the bride on mission. They'll help the bride embody the grace that she has received. So our goal for our spiritual directors is that they will help you move closer to Jesus. And through you help others move closer to Jesus, even as they are seeking to move closer to Jesus themselves. So we're excited about this role. We're thankful for those that are considering this position. We're excited about how this might be used in our church in the days and months and years ahead to make us more faithful to Jesus. So pray for us in this. Pray that God would raise up tender, gracious, gentle, godly, firm, bold, loving spiritual directors for me, for you, for our church, and for our city. So do you sometimes feel alone? Do you sometimes feel distant and isolated from others, from God, even from yourself? Do you sometimes feel all alone? You're not alone in this, but don't stay alone. Seek spiritual direction. If you're not a Christian, seek spiritual direction. Seek spiritual guidance. Find someone that you can talk to about spiritual things. Find someone that you can ask questions of, just like the woman at the well did with Jesus. If you are a Christian, seek spiritual direction. Find someone to help you grow, to help you mature, to help you deepen your life in Christ. Find someone to help you experience His grace, so that like the woman at the well, you might be sent out into His world and bear fruit and testify that Jesus really is the Savior of the world. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that You love us in so many ways. We're thankful that You are true spiritual director and that You receive us, that You love us right where we are, that we can come to You with our doubts and our worries and our concerns, that You preserve us, and that You send us out to embody the grace that we've received. Lord, may this be more and more true of our lives together and of our church, so that much fruit might be born through us. We pray this for Christ's sake. Amen.
Friends, please stand.